Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, when it comes to retirement planning, there are many factors to take into account, and a simple Google search will leave you with hundreds of thousands of answers, right? But while you need the questions as well, and while the questions matter, the source from which you're getting your answers matters even more. So today we're going to cover the 13 most important retirement planning questions and answers to all of them. Stick around right here.
Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in. Cruising Through Retirement is where you is what you found. Kevin Brooker is here. Kevin is an independent fiduciary investment advisor representative. You'll find him at Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping folks in the retirement world for more than 30 years. Kevin, hi. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day in Arizona. Nice and warm. Nice and warm.
Nice and warm. A little toasty.
Yeah. Keep you warm.
Well, and that's fine. Well, it's summer, so it should be.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know what? It's this time of year that I often think about, you know, I've got some clients that like to always say, you know, how much warmer are you guys than Death Valley? And he just likes putting that out there. And so middle of January, I like saying, how's that winter feel right about now?
How's that feel?
I'll take the heat any day of the week.
Absolutely. I'm with you. And this is going to be fun. I think you talked about how many returns you get on looking for financial information. And
yeah,
you're right. The sources are terrible. But so what we did here is kind of strip down and give you some questions, and we're going to get it from the source. That's you. And, you know, these are questions that you probably ask your clients.
You know what they are? They're definitely questions I ask my clients, and they're questions that everybody should be asking themselves. And I think a lot of times, you know, we go through the process. A lot of folks, you know, they set up a 401k when you start a new job, and maybe you don't think about it very much. And then as time goes by, you get to the point and you say, you know what, maybe I should be focusing more on retirement. And so one of the first things that we want to look at is not just, we want to look, of course, when do you want to retire? But then we want to draw down and figure out, you know, how much do you need to have saved? When are you going to start to claim your Social Security? And there's a million questions that you have to answer. And also in terms of just where is your monthly income going to come from if you want to retire before you claim Social Security? And that's what I'm talking to a lot of people about these days, because everybody knows, or at least most people know, that the longer you wait to claim your Social Security check, the bigger the check's going to be.
Right.
And so they want to wait, right? And a lot of them want to wait till 69 or 70, but they don't really want to work until they're 69 or 70.
Yeah.
So that's the question that we're going to dive into. One of them that we'll dive into a little bit today. And I think everybody that give that one some thought, you'll feel a lot better once you have those answers.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the question of when do you want to retire? And I think we have to be realistic about that. And I know the obvious answer is, you know, tomorrow or yesterday or whatever.
Yesterday,
but realistically, you know, so if we're 5 to 10 years out, we're in that financial retirement red zone. You know, that's that. You've got to have an end game there at that point.
No question about it. And you want to be very cognizant, right? You want to be very conscious or keep at the front of your mind that as you get closer and closer to the retirement date, you want to keep a harder look and keep a closer watch on how much risk you're taking with your investments, at least the investments that you're planning on utilizing for retirement income. In other words, you don't want to be heavily loaded in highly volatile stocks if you're going to be using some of that money in those stocks to live off of in retirement, because you might wind up getting nailed with something that we call sequence risk, which means that if it starts going down those last couple of years you're working or the first couple of years you're retired, that could seriously upend your retirement. It could totally derail it. In fact, it could put it off. That's happened to a lot of people. They say, all right, well, I guess I got to work for another couple of years. So there's a lot of pieces that have to line up. You know, it's kind of like a chess game, and you want to be very calculating about the piece you move and when you move it, and that's going to give you the most highly desired result.
Well, and then from your perspective, you have to know, what am I working with here? How much have you got?
Yes, for sure. Oh, for sure. and it's, yeah, there's that's one piece of the puzzle, right? And it is a big puzzle that we have to sit down and we put it together piece by piece so that it makes sense for your personal situation. And something, guys, that a lot of you should realize is that a lot of companies, for instance, from the investment standpoint side, in other words, where are they going to put your money? What are you going to invest the money in? All right. When you go to a lot of these big companies, and I tell people I have a boutique investment advisory firm. It's family owned. It's me and my wife. I've been doing this for 34 years, but I'm the only advisor. All right. That's it. It's me. I have resources at the biggest institutions around the world. And I have great, great resources and relationships with many of the largest companies out there. And I never hold anybody's funds directly. All right. And so I aim for a personalized, customized approach with my clients. And every client's portfolio is different. None of them are the same. They might have some similar holdings, but they're not completely the same. And what I'm getting at is that a lot of the firms, the bigger firms, if you're a mid-level person, in other words, maybe you've got $500,000, maybe you got 700 grand, something like that, we call that mass affluent. In this business, that's mass affluent is the definition, the category. And what they do is they give you a questionnaire and you answer these questions on how much risk you want to take and how much time you have until you need the money, things like that. And then they're going to put you into a model portfolio. And everybody that scores between A, you know, they give you a random score. And if you score between 20 and 30, you're in portfolio A. And if you're between 30 and 40, you're in portfolio B, and so on. And so they use those scores from the tests that they give you, the surveys, and they use that to put you in one of their model portfolios. It's not a customized. It's not a customized portfolio. Okay. Typically at those firms, it's only the ultra wealthy, which are people 10 million and above, that get that type of portfolio.
Well, there aren't many of those walking around.
Not a lot. No, there's definitely not a lot. You know, but the old saying in the, if you were a broker in the business, you say, well, would you rather have one client with 10 million or 100 clients with 100 grand? Which you'd rather have? And a lot of people would say the one client with 10 million.
Yeah.
And that's simply because it's just one relationship to manage, right?
Sure.
It's a fact of the business. It is a fact of the business. All right. Just like many, many things in this world, the more money you have, the more favors you're probably going to get in life. And it's the same thing in this business. I just want to point out the discrepancy, because some people will say, no, I want a big firm. I want a big firm. And I say, that's fine. That's perfectly fine. And by the way, I use big firms to hold your money. I'm not holding the money. It's all insured just like any other brokerage firm. And I can give you millions of dollars in insurance for your accounts if that's something that you need. So that's not an issue. The difference is a personal touch. The personal touch is what I aim for, and I believe that's what sets me apart, in that I want to have a relationship one-on-one with my clients, and I want to maintain that relationship for years and years and years. I don't have an assistant that I'm going to pass you off to. You don't have to talk to people on the phone tree. You don't have to call, you know, when you call in, you're going to get me, right? You're not going to get somebody in a foreign country or some broker that just passed his license got his license 6 months ago. All right. And those are a lot of things that you'll find in the big, big firms, because they're catering to the ultra wealthy. And so you want to be aware of it. If that's something you're happy with and that's what you're looking for, then more power to you. I hope it works out. I just want to make sure you're aware of some of the differences between the firms. It's not just size.
And so as you look at that, you know, the big box firms, like we say, they, you know, you said, you know, you're, I mean, there's a billion financial shows out there, and a lot of them are, you know, nationally syndicated. And so the person you hear on the radio, you're not even going to be in the same city.
Oh, no, not at all.
Right? I mean, but with you, it's you. Like you said, face to face. That's something that is, you know, it's kind of lost on a lot of folks.
I think it's lost on a lot of folks. And I tell you, you know, like a lot of times, I used to use the joke of Marcus Welby. And you got to be a certain age to even know who that is.
Yes, okay? I
do. And that was the television show from many, many years ago. And the reason I say that is because I still will go to people's houses or wherever they're living and to meet with them. And I do that out of convenience. I met one of my clients on Super Bowl Sunday a couple of years ago.
Oh, all right? Wow.
And no, not during the game, but no. But it was the day of the game.
Sure.
And the point, but it was a Sunday. And the point being is that that's the type of accommodation that you should be able to get from a smaller firm, right? Because that's how we can compete. That's how we can give you the next level of service. And the reason I bring up Marcus Welby is because I think a lot of people might not even realize that doctors used to make house calls.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Back in the day, they would come to you, all right? Now it's not only do you go to them, but you go to them with an appointment, and you're probably going to have to sit for half an hour before you even see them. Mm-hmm. So it's much more inconvenient, and I think that the, you know, the high level of customer service has really disappeared from a lot of places. And there's so many places that I go that I feel like a number. I don't feel like they know anything about me or know who I am. It's like, you know, number 72, you're up, you know. And what I'm trying to stress is that I believe because I've got a lot of clients that have been with me 10 years and more, a lot of them more than 15. I've got some clients going back that have been with me since the 90s, since the mid 90s. And that likes to still give me crap because, you know, back at that point in time, I ran a big office and I did have an assistant. And this client likes to give me a hard time because he spoke to my assistant about buying Apple when it was the equivalent of a dollar a share.
Wow.
And he won't let me forget that my assistant talked him out of that.
Oh, wow. And, wow, I can see where that story would come around.
Right? It does. Yes. Believe me, it does. It does. And again, it wasn't me directly.
Right.
But it's something that I'm just bringing it up to point out, you know, that a good relationship can last you for decades. And I think if you find a good advisor, just like I'll tell my friends, you know what? Have you ever found a good mechanic? Okay. Because if you do, when you find one, because they're hard to find, when you do, you want to hold on to them. Okay. It's hard to find somebody that's honest and will tell you, you know what? I didn't have to fix anything. Everything's fine. I tightened it up a little bit. You don't owe me a dime. I found a mechanic like that. It took me a long time to find him, right? And so when you find an advisor you're comfortable with, that you work with, because you're trusting them with your life savings, right? You're trusting mm-hmm. them to help you get to a goal that is elusive for many people. And so it's important that you're comfortable with the person, you trust them, and that they've got all the licenses so that they can talk to you objectively about whether something is good or bad for your situation, not just tell you to avoid it because they're not licensed to sell it or to recommend it to you. And I think a lot of people don't realize that's what's going on in a lot of these cases.
Wow. Absolutely. Folks, if you want to get in talk with Kevin, 800-975-6717, 800-975-6717. Or you can just visit the website, silverleaffinancial.com, and you will find a link to Kevin right there. You can even set your own appointment on your website. That's really convenient.
Yes. You know what? Yeah, guys, that's Calendly. If you're a person that's a self-employed person, if you're looking for help scheduling, check out Calendly. It's an app that you can use. You can put it on your website. On my website, it's the bottom right corner. It's a little blue bubble. And all you do is click on it, and it'll pull up my schedule, and it's just for a 15-minute phone call. And it could be 5 minutes, could be 10 minutes. The point is a brief phone call just to see if it's worth it for you to come in and sit down, and we sit down face-to-face. I want to see if we're a good fit. I don't take everybody that wants to work with me, just like you don't do business with everybody that wants to do business with you. So it's important that we both feel good about the relationship, and I tell my clients, I do everything I can to be as honest and transparent and forthright as I possibly can. I'm never going to BS you. And I expect and I look for the same from my client. And we want mutual respect, mutual consideration, and we want open communication. And I just ask you to let me know. If there's something I'm doing you don't like, just let me know. And if there's something you'd like to see more of, just let me know. All right? Because that's how I can do a better job for somebody, is with effective and good open communication. And so I think it's important to find that relationship. It's not about a transaction. It's not about just what do I do with this 100 grand today. It's where is it going to be next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? How can I help you get to the level you want to get to, all right, without taking more risks than we're supposed to take?
Sure. Okay?
So going back, I got a little bit off on some tangents here, but going
That's
back
okay.
to, right, so we were talking before, when do you want to retire, right? That's, of course,
right.
very important. But the question I like to ask is, so when you're retired, where is that monthly income coming from in that first check, that first month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months? How are you going to finance it?
Well, right? I used to get a paycheck.
exactly, right? Well, it's where I'm going is, well, are you already getting your Social Security? Have you started your Social Security check?
Sure.
No, I don't want to claim that until I'm full retirement age, but that's 3 years from now. I say, okay, well, I call it a bridge. Then somehow we need to bridge that period of time between you want to retire at 64, but you're not going to claim Social Security till 67. So how are we going to pay for those 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And so that's when we get into the planning, because I'll tell you personally, that's what I'm planning on doing. Now in my situation, I won't be fully retiring. I'll be partially retiring or semi-retired, if you will, because I'm going to continue to work with the people that are my existing clients. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stop bringing on new clients. And that's not that far away from me. Mm-hmm. Maybe another couple of years. And because I want to be able to work with everyone for at least 10 years. And that's about how much longer I plan on doing this. So I think that it's important to have that conversation, but think about that bridge. How are you going to do that? Maybe you've got extra money. You say, you know what? I've got 300 grand over here. I'll just pull 100,000 a year out of that account and I'll be fine. All right. Maybe that's the case. Maybe not. What a lot of us are doing is saving up enough money so that we can live off the interest from that principal. So if you've got 600 grand put away, I can get you 6% right now today, guaranteed. Guaranteed, right? So that'll get you $36,000 a year in interest, $3,000 a month, okay? If you can live on, if that's enough to get you what you need, then you can just live on the interest for this three-year window until you claim Social Security, and then you're going to get whatever your Social Security check is. That'll be extra money for you, right?
Boy, that's such a great way to think about Social Security and motivating to save, you know, early and often and as much as you can.
Yes.
Because to have that benefit, if you will, of Social Security as an add-on.
That's
wow.
what I'm saying. That's exactly how I'm planning on doing it. And for me personally, I'm using Roth IRAs for the income. So it'll be tax-free income. And then my Social Security should be tax-free as well. Because my other income, you know, is tax-free. So that means my only taxable income is going to be my Social Security. And if the exemptions stay anywhere near where they are right now, then I shouldn't have to pay any income tax at all in retirement.
Right.
Or very, 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 very small amount. And then for medical expenses, I've talked many times on the show about having a health savings account. An HSA, it is the only truly tax-free account, meaning you never pay tax on that money. If you set it up properly and you follow the rules, you got to have an HSA qualified or HSA eligible health insurance plan, which means it has to have a high deductible. For some reason, that's just how they put the rules together. But the HSA, guys, you can invest that in stocks just like everything else. Personally, I invest my HSA account and our Roth accounts. I have a Roth and my wife has a Roth. I invest those the most aggressively. That's where I own NVIDIA. That's where I own Bitcoin. That's where I own many other Dell Computer and Amazon and other stocks that I'm looking for high growth going forward. Vertiv is another one. All right. Now, these guys, these stocks I'm mentioning, I'm not recommending them to you. I'm just telling you what I own. And I'm stating that I own aggressive growth stocks because I'm hoping that I get very strong growth in those accounts and the accounts are tax free. So to me, it makes sense to try for the most growth in the tax free accounts. Now, some people don't want to do that. They want to be more conservative. They say, that's my retirement. I don't want to take a chance on losing it. Because when you're going for high growth stocks like NVIDIA, that stock can move 10 or 15% in one day. No problem. All right. It's up like 160% or something for the year. It's up 3,000%, I think, for the last 5 years. So
3,000%. Wow.
30 times your money.
Yeah.
In five years. So can you imagine if you put 10 grand into that a few years ago, you'd be pretty happy.
You'd be really happy.
Right? So that's my strategy. And that's the type of thing that your advisor needs to get to know you so they can develop that strategy for your accounts. Now, everybody has, you know, we have different levels of risk tolerance, different time frames, things like that. The biggest problem for me personally as an investor is when I get into these high growth stocks, it's holding on to them through the downturns. That's the hard part. Because if, for instance, if you were an owner of NVIDIA for those last several years, you had to withstand probably at least three, maybe four, 60, 70, 75% drawdowns. That's what you would have had to go through if you were a long-term holder of NVIDIA. Because we look at it now and you say, holy cow, 30 times your money in 5 years. Yeah. But would you have held it when it dropped 75% from where it was 2 years ago? Or 80% 3-4 years ago? Would you have still held on to it? And that's the fortitude that it takes in order to get, you know, to the promised land, if you will, and hold one that's seen those types of returns. You know, because nothing goes straight up, right? Nothing grows to the sky. And there's going to be ups and downs. And right now it's going through a period of digestion. It's consolidating. And I certainly hope that it doesn't really break down much below the 115, 120 level. Because I just don't like seeing that, right? Who likes to see your portfolio go down?
No.
You know, but nobody can look at that. And nobody with experience in the stock market can look at that and say they're surprised by seeing it consolidate after having that type of a massive run. So it can be a little bit uncomfortable when you're holding on to them. But if you're a long-term investor, you really just have to sit back, try not to let it bother you. But if it does start costing you sleep at night, that's when you need to talk to your advisor or make some changes, because if you're losing sleep, you probably need to dial back the amount of risk that you're taking.
Right. Well, and again, we're talking about the questions that need to be asked, and there's one on here. It's an interesting question, I think. How many years are you planning to be retired for?
Yeah.
And is that a question you ask?
It is a question I ask. Because the other more morbid way of saying it is, at what age do you plan to die?
Well, I know I was being nice.
And so most of us don't like to talk about our own mortality. I get that. Yeah, I don't really like to talk about it either. But I haven't met anybody that figured out a way around it. So we all know we're mortal, right? Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes we might not act like it. We are. And so that's one of the hardest things to figure out, Steve, is with everybody when I sit down, because I often tell people, I think you should plan on living into your 90s. And that's when a lot of guys, right? This is when the guy sits back in the chair, crosses his arms, drops his chin a little bit. And that tells me, okay, I don't like what this guy's saying. I'm not listening to this guy. This guy's full of it.
Yeah.
That's the reaction I get from most guys. Most women will sit back in the chair a little bit, but not as forcefully. They don't usually cross their arms like a guy will.
Is it just because they don't want to face it, or they don't want to think about it?
I think it's because they don't like hearing somebody tell them that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Or do they say, as a guy, do they just say, well, I'll never make it that far?
That too. That's the next line. That's the next line that comes out of his mouth. He's going to say, please. They'll be like, please. That's, you know, it'd be like a joke. That's not going to happen to me. Every guy in my family died before he was 80, you know, and they'll put out something like that. But really I'm a little bit joking, but the fact of the matter is none of us know how long we're going to live. All right. Now, if you have a family that does have serious health problems and you've had serious health problems, then maybe it does make sense to claim your Social Security earlier than we would otherwise recommend, because one of the exercises I like to go through with folks is I like to go through the numbers and to give them an idea of at what age you have to live to have it make financial sense of delaying to claim your Social Security. In other words, if you think you're going to die at 65, right? Why the hell would you wait any longer than 62 to claim your Social Security? You wouldn't, right?
Right.
Okay. But let me tell you something. The difference between claiming at 62 and 67 is your late 70s. In other words, if you do the math about how much money you would have received in total, if you start claiming at 62, do it for about 15 years. I want to say it's going to be around 77 or 78. So figure out your check at 62, right? And then get 180 checks, 15 years of them, right? And then figure out the amount of money you'd get at 67, and you get 120 of those checks, and then you total it up. And I believe around 77 or 78, that's when you're going to make more money by waiting until 67 to claim. So what that tells me is if you've got a good chance of living to 78 or beyond, which I think most of us do. Right? Because that's the average. Then you'd be really better served by waiting until at least 67 to claim. Now, then you say, all right, Kevin, what's the difference between 67 and 70? That's going to take another few years. That's going to be in the 82 range, all right? So if you think you've got a good chance of living, if you think you have more than a 50% chance of living past the age or to the age of 82, then I'm going to suggest you wait until 70 to claim your Social Security, because over time, you will have received more money. If you're going to live in your 80s, you definitely would benefit financially from waiting to claim until you turn 70. And so those are the numbers. Now, you can do your own math. Everybody's a little bit different because on average, you get about 75, 76% more from your check at the age of 70 than you do from your check at the age of 62. But it's not the same with everybody. It all depends on your work history, your earning history, how much money you made, how long you made it. Have you earned all of the credits? And what they're going to do is they're going to throw out, like if you've got a zero in the calculation, that will go into the calculation. If you had some years where you didn't make any money, those zeros are going to bring down the amount of money you should receive. And so you want to make sure your earnings record is accurate. You can do that on the Social Security website. But those are the ages to look at when you're trying to figure out when should I claim Social Security in terms of it's going to come back to longevity, right? If you've got a long life in your family, if your parents lived well into their 80s or beyond, then I would suggest you think really hard about waiting until 70 to claim.
Okay. And I mean, you know, and again, there are exceptions to every rule, so to speak. And again, it just certainly depends on circumstances. And that's
the beauty
of working with you, Kevin, you know, an independent fiduciary advisor, lots of experience. You've seen things, you know how things can come together. And to help guide us there, and that decision about Social Security is so important.
Oh, it's critical. I think it's one of the most important decisions people make
in
terms of retirement planning. Because, guys, one thing I like to remind everybody of is that, and this is something I expect the government to change, actually, in the future. But as of right now, you get roughly an 8% increase for every year you wait to claim Social Security. But it increases every month, okay? You don't have to wait a full year, in other words, to get a bigger check. You wait a month or two, you'll get a bigger check. Okay, every month you wait, it gets bigger, all right? And right now, it's about 8%. Personally, I expect the government to lower that in the future. And guys, we need to, as everybody's thinking about who to vote for in the election, maybe think about who's going to support Social Security and Medicare when you cast your vote. Because if we don't have Congress make changes to Social Security in the very near future, you're going to get a 20% cut in your Social Security check in about 6 or 7 years. And I don't think everybody realizes that, and you really need to wake up to that. Sorry, I don't offend anybody. But if Congress does nothing, everybody's benefit's going to get cut 21%.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, okay, for the record, I'm voting blue all up and down the ticket. And if somebody could tell me which Republicans or which program Republicans passed that social benefit program, maybe I'd go the other side. But Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, disability, the Affordable Care Act, all of it. So all of it was Democrats. So that's why I'm voting blue. For me, the whole LGBTQ thing and gender pronouns and all that, it's not going to make a big difference in my life.
Right.
But if somebody cuts my Social Security check, that'll have a massive impact in my life. So the most important things to me are those programs. So going back to claiming Social Security, it does come down to your life expectancy, how long you expect to live. If you're married, whichever one of you has the bigger Social Security check, whoever has the bigger, you know, earnings history, okay, when the first one of you passes away, the survivor is going to get that bigger check. And so in my case, mine is the bigger of the two with me and my wife. So that's another reason why I want to wait until I'm 70, because whoever survives is going to only get my check. The surviving spouse is not going to get both Social Security checks. They will get the bigger one. They will not get both, all right? So keep that in mind when you're thinking about claiming, especially if you're the higher wage earner, if you have if you're supposed to get a bigger Social Security check, then think real hard, because the surviving spouse is going to wind up with just that check later in life.
Sure. And again, those are the discussions and conversations that you have. And especially if it's a couple, like you say, there's, you know, that's getting them on the same page and walking down that path is critical.
It is. And you know, it's because one thing I've learned in this business that I probably wouldn't have known if it wasn't for being in this business is that a lot of people with pension plans, a lot of guys with pension plans, They didn't talk to their wife when they made the election. You make an election decision, guys, when you claim. And that decision is they give you like half a dozen different payment options, right? And one of them is single life. So they're going to pay the person that earned the pension. They're going to pay that person just for their life, right? As long as they live, but it's just their life. That's going to be the biggest check, right? Because they're only covering one life. So if you say joint life, that payment's going to be going to be smaller. And so a lot of guys, what I've learned, because I've met them, is they didn't talk to their wife because they sit down with me and they say they've got a pension. And I say, well, how much is your wife going to get if you should pass away first? And there's always a little wait. They don't answer that one right away. They wait a second because they're sitting right next to the wife.
Sure.
And then he says 50%. And she says, what? Why in the hell did you ever tell me about that? Why didn't we talk about that?
Exactly.
I'm only going to get half. And so I hate to break it to you guys, but anybody, if you've got a pension in your household, both spouses need to know what's going to happen when that person passes away. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please have that conversation. All right. Because obviously that's less money coming into the household, but it's going to be magnified because they're going to lose your Social Security check too. So she's going to lose one of the Social Security checks and half of his pension. And so that's why we want to make sure we sit down and we go through this, because it's not just about having enough money now for one individual. I want to make sure the surviving spouse is covered as well. I want to make sure that she's covered and she has enough money to keep living the life she wants to live. Maybe she lives to 100, even if you passed away at 85. I want to make sure both of you can live the life that you want. And that requires that we set up things to make sure you've got the income that you need for both of your lives.
Perfect. And again, I know we're coming up on the end of the show here, but let's talk market again. It's been an interesting week.
Oh, it has. It really has. And guys, you know what? I think the markets have hit something like 25 record highs, record all-time highs under the Biden administration, I might add. And unemployment is still down around 4%, one of the longest streaks since World War II. Corporate profits are coming in stronger than most analysts expected. That's why you're seeing people raise their forecasts for the market. I think the market still looks good. I would stay fully invested. I would use any pullbacks as opportunities to add to your core positions. And if you're not sure which those should be, just give me a call. I'll be happy to go over it. But I think you should stay in this market if you're a longer, even a midterm investor. I would stay in.
Great. Sounds like great advice, Kevin. As always, a pleasure.
It's always good to be here, Steve. Guys, I hope you found this helpful.
Information provided is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.